As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Well, for the last few weeks, we've been more than weeks, probably months now. We started actually in January, and can you believe it? We're into April, May already. Isn't that amazing? Well, we've been thinking about this wonderful panoramic view of God's purpose for his church. And we read about it in God's word, and we know it in our heads, but often the penny doesn't drop in our hearts. And are we rejoicing? Are we basking in God's provision, God's purpose for us? We came back in a flight on Tuesday evening. It was wonderful to be above the clouds. And how beautiful it is. And I had a window seat and I was enjoying it. And then we had to come down through the clouds. There was a bit of turbulence. And we got there and we arrived. And there's a lot of turbulence. There's a lot of clouds that come and, you know, that surround us, overwhelm us. And we can lose a sight of God, his presence in our lives, his wonderful purpose. And that's why we need God's word to renew our vision, to enlarge our vision. And we've been thinking about God's purpose this year. So I just want to put it on the screen. Words, but this is the reality. This is our experience as God's people. God's purpose for his church is to bless us from all eternity with every spiritual blessing in and through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And to reveal to us in our personal experience of salvation the glory of God's love, his mercy, and his grace. God's purpose in our lives as believers is to display his glorious workmanship in our lives. Do we believe that? Do we see that? God's purpose is to reconcile all nations together in one spiritual body, the universal Church of Jesus Christ. It's important to have that perspective, isn't it? So very easy just to be you in your small corner and I in mine, and we don't have that awareness of the bigness of God's work around the world, calling people to himself, building up his church. One day we're going to all be together, and what a sight that is going to be. God is wanting in our lives now, in the life of the church, to make known to the angelic principalities and powers through the Church of Jesus Christ the many splendored wisdom of God. Isn't that amazing to think about it? That's what God is doing at the moment through his church. Maybe we don't see it. Maybe sometimes we see shafts of light of that. That is what God is doing. Paul was in prison. And God was revealing these things to him. He needed to be aware of God's wonderful purpose. And he wrote this letter for the Church of Jesus Christ. And it was, as he was writing it, it was thrilling his heart. And it stirred him to worship. And it stirred him to prayer. And that should be our response, to worship the Father. And God's family, to worship him and to pray to the Father for power to be able to grasp the dimensions of the love of Christ, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, to be filled to the full with the love of God. That was our theme at the funeral service of Janet. And many of us who visited her latterly, there was so much love that was oozing out of her. You know, despite the difficulty of her circumstances, those who went to visit her, she told them that she loved them. You know, I love you. She said that in hospital. She was saying that in her home. Those who visited her, it was the love of God to her and in her and through her. She was knowing the love of God that surpasses knowledge. And we need to pray that the Lord, that would be our experience, that we would be filled to the full with the fullness of God. That should be our response. But there's a third response that we're going to be reflecting on today. In light of all that God has blessed us with, is to live a life worthy of the calling. That we're up in that high place. You know, that's where we need to be aware of all that God has blessed us with, to be standing there and to be looking at it with clear vision in our lives, that the Lord has blessed us. He's blessed us real good. And we've got this wonderful high calling that the Lord has taken us up from that pit that we were in to this high place. And from that perspective, that we should live a life worthy of the high calling that we have received. And in these short verses that we read this morning, there are three ways that God would want us to live worthy, how we can live worthy of the calling that we have received. First of all, that by being completely humble and gentle. And just that word, completely, it could easily not have been mentioned. Just be humble and gentle. But be completely humble and gentle is what the Lord requires of his people. And why should we be completely humble? Because of the calling that we have received, it's not anything that we have accomplished or deserve. It's all of God's doing. It's because of his love and his mercy and his grace towards us in Christ Jesus. And when we have that awareness of God's hand in our life, all that he has done, well, that humbles us. We should be completely humble, and we should be gentle in our attitude towards others as well. So completely humble because it's all of God. It's all of his wonderful doing in our lives. Secondly, because of the terrible harm caused by pride. The root of rebellion against God, pride, was firstly in the heart of Lucifer, Satan. He was in that exalted place, highest of angels. Pride brought him right down to the earth, humbled him. But he was not humble before God. That pride was there, even though he was lowered. That pride, that anger, that determination to ascend was there in his heart. And he sowed that in the heart of Adam and Eve. And all of their offspring, there is that deep-rooted rebellion against God in this pride This thinking that we know better than God. This turning our back on God. This going our own way. The terrible havoc, the harm caused by pride. How we need to be humble. How we need to be delivered. To be watchful for the beginnings of pride. It's still there in us. Can ascend itself in us and bring falls in our lives. Humility and gentleness, because they are beautiful qualities to God. And displayed so beautifully in the character, in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord we've been singing about this morning. And yet he says these words to us, Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." There are not many descriptions in the Bible where the Lord says, I am this. This is one of the only. And what does he say about himself? What does he say that's important? Important to him. I am gentle. And I am humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And God desires that his people resemble the same beautiful humility and gentleness in our lives. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit would keep us humble. We would have that humble spirit. We would have that gentleness. Gentleness in a way that we relate with others, and how our Lord was like that. The smoldering candle, you know, he doesn't snuff it out. You know, he's gentle. He deals with his people with gentleness. So live up to our calling, our high calling. High calling is humble. That's high. Upside down perspective in the world. God's perspective, the high calling, living up to the high calling, is being humble and gentle. No, the humble and gentle don't get the awards, do they? They don't get the praise. They don't get noticed in our world. God sees that. God prizes that. That's beautiful to him. So let's seek to be humble and gentle. Secondly, by being patient, bearing with one another in love. Be patient, firstly, because we've seen a glimpse of God's glorious purpose for his church and in Jesus Christ, beginning in God's mind and purpose before the creation of the world and continuing for all eternity. And knowing that our future inheritance in Christ is certain, it's guaranteed, it's glorious, should give us patience as we face difficulties and discouragements in this present life. Because we know how it's going to end. The best is yet to come. And in the words of the hymn, "No future but glory, Lord Jesus, have we. How bright is the prospect of being with you, Lord." So give us patience in the difficulties, when we're facing the cloud, the turbulence. Our destiny It's God's presence. It's certain. It's fixed. It's guaranteed. We don't need to strive to obtain it. It's ours. It's a gift. It's God's grace. And be patient because of the harm caused by impatience. Abraham and Sarah's lack of patience resulted in centuries of rivalry and jealousy from the line of Ishmael, the child born of the flesh, against the line of Isaac, the child born of the promise. And impatience with fellow believers in the church of Jesus Christ is also the source of friction and disagreements when we try to push through our plans without taking on board the legitimate concerns of others. We need to be patient with one another. And to exercise patience, we need to bear with one another in love, because love covers a multitude of sins. And because love, according to the great chapter of love, 1 Corinthians 13, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres, never fails. And such love enables us to be patient with one another. And we see such patience and bearing love in the life of Jesus Christ, patiently waiting. He knew why he came. It was ultimately the cross. And yet, he waited until the age of 30 before commencing his most important work. He was working as a carpenter. He was a dutiful son and brother and in no good Nazareth. And he was patient to be there, the Lord of glory, to be stuck in Nazareth. He didn't view it as being stuck. It was God's calling. And he was glorifying God in his, you could say, his humiliation for him to be. The angels, he's there. And if there was pride in him, he could have, no, I'm worthy of more than this. But no, he patiently made those chairs or whatever. I don't know what he made in that furniture shop. But he continued with it. God's timing. Waited out of love and obedience to the will of his Father. And in the training of his disciples, Christ displayed endless patience with their jockeying for position and importance. You know, and he was the Lord. He was, you know, and they were wanting to, had these visions of grandeur and importance and patience with their slowness of heart to believe. And it was his love which enabled him to patiently bear with them. And we have those words that John records in that upper room with his disciples. And when he washed the occasion that he washed his disciples' feet, they were unwilling to do that for him or for each other. And it says that having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He showed them the full extent of his love and humbly serving, gently handling their feet and washing their feet. What patience our Lord had with them. What patience with us as well. Endlessly patient with us. And God, the Holy Spirit, can produce that love, that bearing love, that patience in our hearts as we seek him, as we trust him for that. And then lastly, live a life worthy of the calling you have received by making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The unity of the Church of Jesus Christ. It should be of great importance to God's people. Why? We've learned in this letter, Ephesians, largely on the Church of Jesus Christ. The purpose of the church is to display to angels and mankind the many splendored wisdom of God. And when the church is not united, as it should be, God is not being glorified through his people as he should be. And we, the church, are not being the witness that the world needs us to be. How important is the unity of God's people? It's important because of the cost Christ paid to make unity between God and his people possible. The blood of Christ's cross. No greater price could ever be paid to make unity. How important that the maintaining, the preserving of that unity should be to us. But there's a third reason in these verses. Because there is one body and one Spirit. As there is really but one church on earth. The universal Church of Jesus Christ. Forget about the denominational label. It's all those who are believers in Christ Jesus, wherever they worship. They're part of the universal church. Composed of believers from every language, people, and nation. And there is the one and the self-same Spirit that indwells the church and every member of Christ's body. And because of that, there ought to be unity. And to not be united is to do damage to the body. To weaken the body. To grieve the head of the body. To quench the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. That being the case, the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ should be of great importance to God's people. Should be important because all God's people have been called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. What does that mean? One hope. We have the hope of eternal salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All believers share that same hope. One Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who God has made Lord and head of his church. One faith, the message of the gospel concerning salvation through faith in Christ alone, which all believers profess. One baptism, not referring here to the mode of baptism, which has divided the church, infant baptism, believers' baptism, sprinkling, pouring, or immersion, but to what baptism signifies. It's being baptized into the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It expresses our allegiance, our wholehearted commitment to God. That should be the response of every believer, wherever they worship, an allegiance, a wholehearted commitment to God. And one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. As Christians, we realize that there is only one God. It tells us that, 1 Corinthians 8. We know that an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no God but one. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. One God, Father, Son, and Spirit. One God who is one. And as all God's people should be one. For all these reasons, the unity of the Church of Jesus Christ, it should be of great importance to God's people. And just in the remaining minute of our service, how can we keep this unity? Firstly, we need to keep in mind that the unity of God's people, it's already an accomplished fact. Through our common faith in Christ, we have been united to God and to every other member of his family. That's taken place. We've been united to God. We are part of God's family. We've been united to God and every other member of God's family. Ephesians 2:21. In Christ, the whole building is joined together. Our part is to make every effort to keep, to guard, to preserve, to hold fast the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. This is where the rubber hits the road. Through our being peaceable, peace-loving, peace-making. We sang at Janet's funeral, make me a channel of your peace. We are all to be channels of God's peace in the church, and we are to extend God's peace and the means of God's peace out with the church to those who don't know the Lord, how they can be reconciled to God. So we're about unity, preserving the unity that God has accomplished. Be peaceable. Be peace-loving. Be peace-making. Be a channel of God's peace. Secondly, through being completely humble and gentle. Through being patient. Through bearing with one another in love. And by keeping in mind, as we've discovered in these verses, all that unites us, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Keep that in mind. Make every effort. Be peacemakers. Pray for the peace. Pray for the unity of God's people around the world. It was Christ's prayer for his church before leaving them. It was so important. And it's so important so that the church can be effective by being united together. So the church can shine, radiate with God's glory through our being united with the head and to one another and working together and loving one another and flowing one with our head, one with each other. Catches the eye of the angels, principalities and powers. Catches the eye of this world that we're living in. See how they love each other What have they got? They've got something. What is it? What's the gel? What's the glue? What's the cement? Where's that attitude come from that holds them together? What's that beautiful fragrance in their lives, in their servants? They're doing these humble things. They're not looking and saying, are you watching what I'm doing? Give me praise. They're just doing it quietly, quietly, flowing with God's Spirit. It's beautiful, beautiful to God. That's my church, God's saying. And that's God's desire for us. And I think it's so great that we have that cafe on the food hub, and we serve refreshments, and just in quiet ways. Janet was involved in that, serving, just quietly, going around the tables, no fuss, serving quietly, but making a difference, making a difference. Caring, loving, showing concern. And people see that more than you realize. They take note of these things and take note that we have been with Jesus. That's a secret, isn't it? We've been with Jesus. He's walking. We're walking with him. And he shows himself through our lives. So make that our prayer for us as a church. We will continue to keep in step with God's Spirit. Be wonderfully united together. We've got lovely unity in this church here. And that there'll be that fragrance that would waft through the relationships that we have in our homes, in our communities, and that God would be glorified.